What's going on? It's Brian Jump. Welcome to the SAI Million Dollar PDR Podcast. How was your 4th of July? Hopefully well. Hopefully you partook in explosive instruments and great food and family. Maybe you partook in a beverage or two. Maybe you hung out with friends. Maybe you laughed. Maybe you loved. Maybe you cried. Maybe you wept. I don't know what the heck you did. I just hope you lived. Every day we wake, it's a win. Even if you feel like shit, it's still a win. If you feel like a million, amazing, like $1 million, like Paco Lucia freaking banging his flamenco guitar right now, that's a good thing. He ain't feeling too good today, by the way. Nope, he's no longer with us. But he had a great life, at least from what I could tell. I don't know, but it seems like he had a pretty good life. But anyway, enough about flamenco guitars. We will have some students coming up in a week. So more student, more new friends, more stories, more dialogue, more drama, more storyline. Life's so interesting when we have stories, isn't it? So many stories, so much drama, and we're going to have drama and dialogue on this podcast today. So the weekend, let's circle back before we can circle forward. And by the way, my name is Brian Jump. I'm a 30-year PDR tech. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, thank you. I graciously and humbly appreciate you coming into our humble abode here. I am broadcasting you live recorded from Laguna Hills, California, where we just renovated our PDR studio / service center / training center / tool making center / place I like to go and just meditate if the wife is getting on my back a little too much. Sometimes it's nice. I don't know if you got a room in your house, if you're married, if things are just a little rough. Sometimes it's just nice to kind of step away. It's good. It's healthy. I digress. I digest. The weekend. Infinity. Frank and Parta, thank you so much for bringing us your car. It was messed up. We turned that thing. I am so proud of the staff and how we got rid of that car. That car was in a major front ender. Wasted front tire. Hit a median. Hit a pole. We had the keys back in that customer's hands, or arms, if you like to carry your keys in your arms, which would be kind of weird. But to each his own, I'm not going to hate on an arm key carrier. 3 days. 3 days we got that car fixed. Paint, dent, bumper, hood, grill, tire. 3 days. Such a good job, guys. Rover, bend over a little Rover. I don't know why I made that rhyme, but blacked out wheels, Ferrari yellow calipers, PDR two doors, bumper. And then yesterday it went out for its satin wrap. Satin with glossy black kind of accents. It's gonna look good. Satin only looks good to me is if you've got a glossy accent. If something's totally matte, it looks boring. You play off of it with the shiny. Shiny is so cool. So, the Rover, Mazda, front end smash. Madi comes in, his wife. I'm not gonna say she's not a good driver. I'll let you decide. But that car's been hit about 4 or 5 times in the front. And they have a baby. I don't know, Madi. I don't know. Maybe it's time to hire a driver, an in-law could help drive the kid around. I think you're kind of flirting with disaster. But what do I know? I'm just a repair guy. Front bumper's jacked up, disconnected, core support, hood was kinked, and then the grill needed to be replaced. How much do you think I charge for all that? A kinked hood. I did everything with the core support. The core support, I drew the line because it was going to be a lot of work. Why do you say a lot of work? I didn't want to pull out the AC condenser or the radiator and all the other aiders that were connected to said deal. So nonetheless, it worked out really well. $850. Fixed the kink in the hood. I don't even know how. It amazed him and me. I was like, sometimes hoods that are bent up and got like kinks in them and the body line stuff, you can actually fix. I was shocked. Takes a lot to shock a 30-year PDR tech. Like a 110 outlet with some exposed wires. Yeah, that'll work. But this was a different kind of shock. Anyway, Monty was happy. Volvo. We're going to talk about this Volvo. We're going to circle back because it's going to tie into today's theme. Today's thematic. Door. Kinked PDR. What else do we do? Oh yeah, we painted front fender and front flare. Which I wasn't really happy with the results, but just shooting you straight, guys. Sometimes I'm stoked, sometimes I'm not. And this one was like, but it was a lease return. But he wanted it perfect. And those were his words. Perfect. So, did we deliver on perfect? You already know the answer. No, of course not. If it was perfect, I would have said, I love what we did. I'd give it a B plus, A minus. So we'll get on to that. Front office remodel. The wife came in, helped me. We got some old school, like 1930s movie seats, which are cool. They're all metal and patinaed out. They don't have any more material on them. They could use some material on them, I'll tell you that. But I just sprayed it with clear, just like you do with old metal patina on a car. They're in the front office now, looks good. Got some faux wood. We got rid of our corrugated tin look, our kind of garage look, and went more with a rustic kind of barn look. It's fun. It's good to mix it up every now and then, right? This is our domicile. This is our domain. We need to feel comfortable and pleased to attend this facility. Last 4th of July was good. We had fun. Fireworks. Worked a little bit during the day. That's when we kind of did the remodel. All kinds of fun stuff. Just fixed up the facility in general. I like to just kind of... I always like to make improvements. I feel like if you're making improvements, you're moving forward. I feel if you just kind of tread water, you're not. Kind of status, you know, quo. Anyway, today we're going to talk about how to price for the win. There's been more and more talk about this on the boards, Facebook groups, etc., the beginners group and all kinds. Paul Corden, I love the guy. He's posted up a lot of repairs lately and the prices. And then he'll entertain a discussion. He's got like a little mini course where he kind of goes into how to price. I highly recommend it. I think I'm constantly learning how to price. I really am. And I teach it to my staff. And I'm always, it's an instrument. It's just like this guitar you're listening to. This guitar is a pricing instrument. Every string he's hitting is an option for the customer. And together when he strikes a chord and finger picks his flamenco ass off, he's getting closer and closer to hitting the perfect blend of price and satisfaction for a client. Sounds like a guitar, doesn't it? Nope, that's a pricing instrument. So anyway, let's get into it. Let's dive in, shall we? How to price for the win. FTW, for the wino. Here we go. The vehicle, of course. We all know the vehicle matters. So is the customer. That's why when a customer calls me with a Ferrari and I ask them what kind of car you got, they're like, why does that matter? AKA, I don't want to spend more money just because I have an expensive car. A lot of people with Ferraris that come to us and Lambos and shit, they spend the extra money. Some don't. We had that Lambo that came in here the other day, man, maybe a month ago, and he never came back. Well, there was another guy said he'd do it for $125. Dude, you're driving a fucking Lambo Gallardo. You want somebody to do it for cheaper? You are not my customer, pal. Not at all. The vehicle. That's how you start, number one. The value of the vehicle. The customer knows it. You cannot run from it. You know what that car's worth. It may not be worth it to you. Tesla is a prime example of our modern time where a car has value, but it may not have a lot of value to the customer. Dude, I bought this Tesla. I could give a shit about it. It's my truck. It's got scratches and dents all over it. I buy it for one reason, to get my fat ass from my house to my work and back. I don't want to buy gas. I'm a cheap motherfucker. I'm trying to save money. I realize that supporting the oil fields and in the Middle East is a bad thing. That's why I have a Tesla. Hey, bravo, dude, bravo. That's probably not gonna be one of our customers, is it? He doesn't care about cosmetics. I had a guy come in the other day. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for me to drive this black Prius around with all these scratches on the hood that I made. I'm so embarrassed. He said embarrassed like 3 or 4 times. That's kind of what dents are about. It's a social measurement. It's what you think about the car, of course, but it's also what you think about other people thinking about you. It's like the clothes you wear. A car is an extension of your being. It's very personal in the modern era. Back in the day when we rode horses, maybe something similar. Hey, you better brush the hair on that horse. You look like a slob with that shitty horse, you know? But before that, what did we really care? No. Except for what you wore, there was no other extension. Medieval times, if you didn't have a horse, you didn't have a cart or a whatever, what do you got? Nothing. So the vehicle matters. That is one way to price for the win. Assuming the customer grants the value of the vehicle in accordance to what you think the value of the vehicle is. Like I said, Ferraris even. I get guys that have $40,000 Ferraris and they can't afford it. Jay-Z says it best. You shouldn't buy something if you can't buy two of the same thing. He's right. And that goes for houses, cars, whatever. Prostitutes. No? Too soon? Okay, vehicle number one, age or value of said vehicle. Well, the vehicle itself does depict value, but what about the age of it? Now, Ferrari is a prime example. If you got a 2022 Ferrari, it's got a hell of a lot more value than a 1992 or 1982 Ferrari. Chances are, the newer Ferrari, you guys, he may not, but he probably will spend more money. Same goes with the Prius. I got a 2022 Prius. I have a 2002 Prius. Did they even come out that soon? I think that's right around the first generation. By the way, the older first generation Priuses are cool looking now. Enough time has gone by. They look like little spaceships. They're better looking than the middle generation. It's pretty funny. Thank you. Thanks for the applause. So vehicle, age, value, and then the customer. I've had customers come in where I had a kid with a real nice Camaro last week. He was probably 20, 21, 22 years old. He couldn't afford $225 for a dent in his quarter panel. Oh, was his response. Oh, he had a really jolly laugh. Very jolly. Very young Santa Claus in training. SCIT, Santa Claus in training, a skit. No, he's not gonna probably come back. He might, he can't afford it. That's probably like his budget for the week. That, hey, dude, that's my insurance and my gas for my Camaro, man. I can't afford $225 for a nickel-sized dent. Are you nuts? Well, it goes back to the Jay-Z thing. You probably shouldn't be driving that Camaro, brother. You probably should have yourself a 2004 Corolla. Price to the situation. Next, after the customer. If I've got, my perfect customer is like somebody probably 50 or 60. Educated, sharp, makes money, and cares about their car. And getting to the point where them or their wife or their parents or whatever are gonna be jacking it up quite frequently. That's my perfect customer. Hey, I'm back again. Good to see you, have a seat. I'll go easy this time. And I will, I always give, you know, volume discounts. I punch their loyalty card. Hey man, you're sitting at 9 right now. One more, you get a free sub. We don't have loyalty cards, but I've joked about it with some customers because they've been here so much. Those are your winners, man. Those are your prime customers. Those are your little evangelists, your disciples, your dent disciples. So the situation is next. Is it a two-party repair? Is it a lease return? Is it a car they just bought? Is it a car they're selling? All kinds of things. Two-party repairs are probably my favorite. Yeah, they're a pain in the ass to collect sometimes, but you don't have to discount a two-party repair. Yes, if it's referred to you by one of your former clients, you should probably take care of them. I get a lot of those. Hey, go use Brian. Do not go to the body shop, go to Brian. Okay. Yeah, we'll take care of you, don't worry about it. Especially if they're, you know, a loyalty card member and they've punched their ticket 9 times. We're gonna take care of them. Who else do I take care of? Teens, young drivers. Somebody left a note. Yeah, this guy left a note. You know, he's gonna take care of it. Oh shit, all right. And it makes me happy, even though I'm gonna make less money, I'm happy that there's, you know, good people out there like that. It's like, fuck, all right, man, that's good. So the situation does matter. It plays hard. Next, you have to also make sure the customer trusts you and the process. Trust is paramount to a transaction. You may throw any number out there, but if they don't trust you, I don't know, dude. Let me call you back. Let me come back later. Some people trust everybody in this business. You know, I'm just searching for Bryce. I don't give a shit. Because I know all you guys are going to do the same thing. It's bubble wrap, right? You're just going to pop the bubble. Yeah, you're right. It's just bubble wrap, man. There's no difference in what we do. So,
one simple but brilliant trick,
it's crazy.
Your home in 90 seconds.
A lot of people think that, which is pretty funny. Yeah, it's bubble wrap. I don't think so. Not even close. We all know in this business there's a huge difference, a disparity between tech A and tech B, typically. So they have to trust you in the process. You have to show value. That means they have to understand what you're going to be doing. They really do. If they don't have belief and conviction in you and the process, it's not going to be an optimized transaction. And that's pretty much what we're talking about here. Optimized transaction. So, remember, price is value. If there's a lot of value in the transaction, no matter what kind of car, no matter what the situation is, you're going to be able to charge a good price. People want to know, man, how did that dude get $400 on that nickel-sized dent on that Audi? He demonstrated value, and it was worth it to the customer. The value of the service delivered for their car. But if they think PDR is simple, you better change their beliefs. And changing somebody's beliefs is not easy. Don't all dents pop out? They don't, and let me show you why not. Come over to this hood real quick. Watch this quick little video. Let me show you this tool. You see this tool right here? Does this look like it's gonna pop a dent out? Here's a little piece of metal with a dent in it. I'm gonna hand it to you. Go ahead, pop it. Here's bubble wrap, here's a dent. I want you to pop that bubble wrap, and then I want you to try to pop that dent. That'd actually be a really good little side-by-side, wouldn't it? I got bubble wrap and I got sheet metal. Do you think they're the same? Oh shit, no they're not. And it sucks because people watch all these videos on YouTube. I've had so many customers come in lately and fuck up their cars because of YouTube. Thank you, YouTube. Now let's go back to value. Maybe they think their car's a piece of shit and they're not really hardly interested or don't care. Get them out of your face. Sometimes people just kind of almost like drunkenly, like a wino, come stumbling in. Yeah, my car's a piece of fuck. I could give a rat's ass about it. I've had that dent for 15 years. I figure maybe, I don't know. Dude, go away. Go away. You're just wasting my time. As soon as I begin to talk dollars, the only way you're going to do that dent is if I pay you to do it. And even then, you might change your mind. Go away. I've only got so many bullets in the chamber. I've only got so many heartbeats. Stop stealing my life. Go. Leave. Have I ever said that? I've certainly thought it. I don't think I've actually uttered those exact words. I have kind of ushered people out. I do it all the time, actually. When you get wise in this business, you try to attract the right customers and you try to repel the wrong ones. And you aren't always going to have the perfect gaydar. You aren't always going to know what's right and what's wrong. And I'm not saying that gay is wrong, by the way, in case you thought I was going there. Gaydar is just a slang term for radar. You know, you're trying to detect something that's proper or good for you. How about that? Don't even say proper, just good for you. There we go. Fix that. Did I? Hopefully I did. And not all customers are good for you, are they? Some are good, some are bad. It's a personal connection. It's like a four-sided cube, guys. There's value of the service into one corner of it. There's the difficulty. There's the value of the car. And then there's the emotion, the connection. Or it could just simply be a straight sales transaction. Very little emotion. I just need to get this done. You know, it's business. I'm selling the car. I know the car's worth $2,000. If you do the dent, it's gonna be worth $2,500. I'm willing to pay $100. I'm gonna make net $400 in this transaction. That's it. I'm not worried about driving this car around. I don't give a shit what Aunt Sally thinks about me or my boss Rick. Fuck those people. I'm selling the car. And this is a business transaction. I've had those. You probably had them too. All this shit, guys, what does it all mean? Let's boil it all down. Let's get those hard-boiled eggs in the pot. It means this is why pricing is complex. Holy shit. All this. All right, scenario. Let's go through a couple scenarios here. Prius. Cheap piece of shit, right? Maybe not. I get a lot of Priuses. People, for some reason, care about them. There's a lot of them on the road. They just don't want to spend a lot of money because they know they're kind of POSs. It's kind of like when you buy a Hyundai. Man, when it's new, it's pretty, shines, it looks nice. Shit, I've been driving this Hyundai now for 3 months. I've really got to know what this car is really about. It's kind of a POS. Or like Camaros. Very few people don't really like, they look good. They're exciting in the beginning. Then you drive them, you realize, this is kind of like a washing machine. It's like a low washing machine. It's not really made that well. It doesn't go that fast. Doesn't do much of anything. Rattles. The doors don't even shut right. It's engineered by a couple of freaking just three little pigs in a haystack. I mean, I don't know where they find their engineers from Chevy, but go open and close the door on a BMW. Go open and close the door on any Chevy, even a Cadillac. An old 3 Series is going to trump a Cadillac. And then ask yourself, why? Anyway, Prius, that's one. Tesla's the other one, like I said. Some people with Teslas will spend the money, they'll throw the earth at you. They're typically not the Model 3s. The Model Ys and Xs, yes, usually. But some people just are cheap. They come in here, oh man. You're kidding me. It's $500 to paint a bumper? It's $400 to take that dent out? Oh my God. Oh no, no, no. All right, bye. See ya. 3 more customers later, we're looking good. I don't put all my eggs in one basket, if you will. One beautiful egg basket. Two-party repair. You're gonna make more money. You just are, if you price it right. Number one, you should. You're gonna have to deal with two different people. That's double the work for you. You gotta explain it to different people. You gotta communicate with two different people. I had this one customer, I'm still getting text. I must literally have 30 different communications between the two of them. And I have yet to make a penny off this transaction. What the fuck? Seriously, 30 go back and forths, a bunch of different estimates. I haven't made a dime. Damn straight you gotta charge my money for a two-party repair. There's no discounts on that. And I fixed their car before the person who they hit's car. Oh, God, Marilyn. You took part of my life away. I'll never get it back. I love you, but God dang it, stop. All right, so that's lease returns. What about they just bought it? I just bought this car. It's got so much more value to me. I know it's a piece of shit, but I love it. I just bought it. It's new to my family. I love you. Kiss the car, hug it. 2 months later, I hate it. Kind of like a marriage. No, I was kidding. Just kidding, just jokes. Jokes. Marriage is good, and you should all be married 4 or 5 times. All right. just bought it, has a lot of value. You could charge more money there, right? They want to sell it. You know, I normally wouldn't do the dance, but I gotta sell. I better do it now. Yeah. They're not gonna do it. They probably want, you can't charge as much as it, they just bought it kind of thing, scenario, versus they're gonna sell and fix it. That's straight transactional, but you're gonna make some money. Love it. So, lease returns. Not always gonna be a home run. Some people realize that, well, a lot of people realize they're renting the car at that point. Man, I'm just throwing money away right now, but I'm just trying to, it's a transactional. I'm trying to reduce the amount of money I gotta spend when I turn this thing back. The guy with the Volvo this weekend, we painted the fender, the flare, and the door. Yes. $1,400.
Thank you very much.
It was a lease return. He didn't care. This guy was very well to do. Oh man, I don't want this lease, and he had an accent. I don't want this lease return to come back. It needs to be perfect. Why? It's a freaking lease. If it does come back, just fix it the right way. They're worried like they're gonna get some huge fine and have to go to lease return jail. No, there's no such thing. There is no lease return prison. You'll be fine. But I'm not gonna tell him that. He wants to spend some money? Right on. If he would ask me, hey, is there a lease return jail? No. No, Billy, there's not. All right, what about brand? Can you make more money with brand? If you're a longtime listener, a few podcasts ago, we talked about this. But if you're a noob, lean on in. Yes, brand's gonna help you make more money. A lot more money. What if they find you on Facebook, Yelp, Google Business, Insta, etc.? They online stalk you. Oh, hey, Brian, how are you? Are you the Brian? Yeah, I'm the Brian. Yeah, roll credits, please. You did that great repair on that Lexus. And oh my God, that customer was so happy. And people say the nicest things about you. Yeah. Yep. You got over 100 reviews. And they're all fives. Yeah, it's a fuck ton of work. I've had to turn other people away. I've had to give away shit for free when people were in a bad mood. Yes, I'm all fives, but it wasn't easy. And no, they're not all my cousins. They come in, if they say they saw me on Facebook or Yelp or somewhere, I'm usually not discounting. Why? I don't care if it's a Prius, because I have instant credibility and belief. They believe I can do the job, and they believe I'm credible. That has value. They go somewhere else, then they gotta reconstruct all that again, right? They gotta put together a whole new persona of this person. Damn. That person looks good, but he's got a tat, he's limping, his tools and his truck looks like shit, he's mobile, he's coming to me, he doesn't even have a shop. I don't know, man, that Brian guy, he looked like he had his shit together. Yes, he had a beard, he could be a criminal, but, yeah, that's huge. Yeah, I was just thinking as I said that, I should have a picture of my family up. People trust people with families. Now, it doesn't have to be my family. It could be me and, you know, some other photoshopped-in kids. I just so happen to have a family, but if I didn't, it still wouldn't be a bad idea. Oh, he's a family man. He's not going to rip me off. He's working hard to support his kids. People come in here, they don't know. That's one thing I just thought about. They really don't know that I have a family. And my family doesn't know that I got two more families, but that's a whole other story. We'll cover that in another podcast. That's why I work so hard, guys. Got to support three families. One in Portugal, one in Mexico, and one here in California. And if any of you think that I'm being serious, you must be new to the podcast. All right, so back on brand. They see you. They get to know you. They see your work. They see your customer satisfaction. Brand's going to lift that ship. You're going to make more money. Belief, conviction, and a connection, man. You got all that stuff, you've got them in a chokehold. Tap out, bitch. Tap out right now. We're in the octagon and you are going down. That was a $100 dent, you're spending $525. Why? Because of belief, conviction, and connection. On a Prius, of all things. Right? I mean, put the two scenarios together. The dude that didn't want to tell you he's got a Ferrari, it's a 1983 308, want to be a Magnum PI machine, comes in. Dude, I'm not going to spend more money than I would if I had a Prius. But then you got the other guy with the Prius, he or she's watched you online. Holy shit, man, that person does good work. Everybody's super happy. There's never a doubt. There's value there, man. I'm going to spend a little more money, but I'm only going to have to go to one place, and I just know I'm not going to waste my time. That's more money than the Ferrari. That Prius just beat out that Ferrari. Not in a race, no. Sexy? Nope, not even a chance. Cool? Nope. Price charged for the PDR service? Yep. Profit? Yep. Satisfaction? Yep. Sales is such a strange thing, man. Changing beliefs, conviction, and a connection is even better. And that's why I say, Paul Corden, it's worth taking his little mini course. It's worth listening to this podcast. We talk about price all the time. Because it's very dynamic, isn't it? It's transitory, it's not static. There's so many different little inputs. And you can just be lazy, you can just whip up Mobiltech RX. Yeah, it's $225, pay it or not, I don't give a fuck, bye. I don't recommend that. You're either not gonna get as many jobs and or you're leaving money on the table. So there it is. Well, that's it, guys. That's the pod. 31 minutes in, talking about pricing once again. But it's just every day we talk about this. Every day somebody comes in and I've got to move the Ouija board a little bit. Move it to the left, move it to the right. How do I do it? Somebody comes in or they call. What's the model? What's the year? Okay, I'm assessing vehicle value. What's the scenario? The situation is so important. More important than the car, isn't it? My sister hit my car. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. Is she paying for it? No? Damn it. All right. Cheaper back. Back down to cheap. Oh, she's paying for it? Raising it back up. But I might be selling it. Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. Damn it. You had it for 10 years? Okay. Yeah, on. You got to ask the scenario. Oh, it was hit in a parking lot. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did they leave a note? No. Okay. I'm using insurance. Oh, okay. All those things play into it. Nothing worse than giving somebody a cash pay and then they go take that to insurance and walk up to you with an insurance check, which is okay. But knowing they use insurance, just you know you left money on the table. Now, you didn't have to go do the whole claim and the estimate and everything. But you're basically doing an insurance job for wholesale. Insurance is just laughing. People are so insurance inept. I almost got choked up on that one. Then. Phonetically, it was kind of hard to say. But anyway, I don't want to go too much deeper on this. We got Eric Clapton in the background singing some instrumental deal. I hear in real life he's a douche, by the way. Just passing the love. Yeah, for real. So anyway, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Any questions, hit me up on the text, the email, the comments. Please subscribe. It helps us see more people find us. We've been growing a little bit. I think we got 3 or 4 new people last week. Holy cow. So pass the love. I appreciate you, man. And we will catch you on the next. Don't forget, students coming up next week. We're going to have some good repairs. Middle of summer, the halfway mark of the year even, guys. You realize that? It's a half year already. We're halfway to January 1, 2023. Holy crap. All right, man. I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. We'll catch you on the next SAI PDR podcast. Bye-bye for now.